Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving.
So you came.
Praise the Lord, saints. Good morning, good morning. I am so glad you have tuned in to share with me today in words from the Word. Good morning, fellowship of learners today. I would like to start time of fellowship off with something that was given to us some years ago. It says, sin. Why are we so taken by it? Why do we choose sin over God? Why does it lure us so compellingly? How does it deceive us so cunningly and then holds us so hauntingly? We protect it, we betray, it betrays us, We hide it, it exposes us. We justify it, it condemns us. We coveted it, it lures us. We brag on it, it slanders us. We feed it, and it starves us. We share it, and it infects us. We pass it on, and it clings to us. We comfort it, it torments us. We defend it, it imprisons us. We fight for it, and it abandons us. We steal for it, and it cheats us. We sacrifice for it, and it selfishly demands more. We kill for it, and then we die. So why is it our first choice? What makes us endure its debilitating effect? We know where it comes from, and as we come to fully understand why, its true ugliness will be exposed, and we will be armed with the truth that will set us free. Sin is a weapon of hate, a hate beyond our understanding, a hate that was born out of a catastrophic failure of pride, a disastrously shattering attempt to obtain the unattainable. The angel of light failed in his fight with God. He knows he cannot touch the Almighty, so he uses us. The word says in Psalms 151 and 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. The angel of light expresses his hate for God by attacking the heart of our Father. He, the angel of light, seduces us, the image of God, to choose sin over God. By doing this, he is getting us to place our hand on sin, his weapon, and piercing our Father's heart like they pierced the side of our Savior. I thank God for leading me to this morning when I read our unit for the day, that you may sin no more. And it was interestingly enough, it is one of the larger units that the author has written. And it had a lot of information in it. And it's like, okay, where do we start with this particular presentation? And so one of the words, one of the key words in there is sin. So it's like, let's look at it for just a little while this morning. Not that we are unfamiliar with it, but we at one point went through a research and found some information that contained over 635 sins. And when they were presented, it was like, oh, that's not what's real. And it's, yeah. And so I found this list, and I just want to read a few of them. I'm not going to read all 600. But just some of the things that some are obvious. Adultery, we know. That's not lying. We know that. But are you afraid to confess Jesus to people? Do you have unjustified anger? Are you angry with your brother? Are you ashamed and hiding your light for Christ? Are you afraid of people or circumstances? Not blessing them which persecutes you. A person that leads the blind astray. A person that boasts in evil. Not a person, but boasting in evil. Jealous for God, but hate God's children. You love the Lord, but his children get on your nerves. Accepting a bribe, not spanking a disobedient child, dressing indecently, wearing the clothing of the opposite sex, going to the church, that is not of God. Loving fancy clothes to show off, to be admired by men. Women that do not dress modestly. And I'm just going down the list, not any particular order, not having compassion, complaining about hardship, condemning, not being content with what you have. And the list goes on, obviously, and on and on in things that are, you know, areas that we don't readily see as sin. Hasty in your words, not being slow to speak, not being meek and quiet. That's one for me. Speaking things that you shouldn't talk about. And just, I was just kidding. And on and on and on. And as we look at this, making bad debt, not paying what you owe, some of the things I highlighted, which I'm trying to get to, filthy dreams, getting drunk, okay. And so as we go on and on, we see how, and the author talks about this, how the task of sin no more might seem too overwhelming. And do we really believe that we can sin no more? Know ye that he was manifest to take away our sins, all of our sins. And so the author really, he presents this, and it's like, this is a hard lesson, but a lesson that was, it's hard to explain, I guess, for me. Not to explain, but to even share. And it's because there's so many aspects of sin that honestly is a part of us, and it eludes us, and that's why that statement that God had given some years ago is like, why is it like that? And we're not able to answer the why of it, other than understanding the source of it, but to understand the fact that I want to say it is what it is, but it is what Christ came to undo, so that none of those things have to hold us. So I enjoyed the way the author shared the two scriptures. It says, if we say that we have no sin, and that's in verse 8 of John, 1 John, and then the second is, if we say that we have not sinned, and how those two statements are not equal, and yet both of them exist in us in different stages and in different contexts. And so when he shared the fact that one is because if we have flesh and we are flesh and blood, there's no good thing in it. So if we say we have no sin, then we are not telling the truth. It is, we do. But to say that we are not going to succumb to that sin is what Christ came so that that could be our declaration. That can be our reality. So all of those things that the enemy, that the devil would have us be deceived by and lured by, no longer have that effect on us. They no longer have that hold to us. We no longer are enticed by them, because now Christ has come, and because he overcame every enticement of sin, every temptation that is common and known to man, all of those things that and more that were read, and the fact that Christ overcame them. Now we can believe that we as well can live without sin. And I remember years ago, and I wondered if I was going to share it when I was reading it. But when I started reading it, I remember something my grandmother had asked me. And she asked me if I was saved. And she said, I'll tell you say, I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, can you live without sin or something? I went, no. You know, because that was just such a ludicrous, who can? You know, she said, well, then you ain't saved. Oh, grandma made me so angry. I was grown. I wasn't a child. Because it's like, you know that you are, and yet, you know, why would she make such a statement? And so I realized where she was spiritually. I wasn't there yet. I didn't have that understanding. And she was sharing something that only thing it did was stir up in me something that was very powerful because I was, first of all, I was very offended, and then I was devastated, and then I wondered, is it true? This was she saying, right? You know, so, but what that does is, and when people do things like that, and I didn't realize then, but what I realize now is something will fuel your passion. It will fuel your motivation to find God, to find everything you can out about Him, to get more intimate, to know Him, to understand. And so those a statement like that definitely did it for me. And so it was always lurking probably in my subconscious, you know, that you sin no more. And the scripture, and I went to the Word of God, and I saw where it said, you know, whoever abides in Him sinneth not. And I saw that. It's like it's in God's Word, but it was not true about me. It was not true. And she knew that. And I believe she knew that I was saved, but I guess she was really challenging where I was spiritually. She couldn't tell. She couldn't take me there. She could only drop that seed, and she did. And I thank God for that. Because I went to the Word immediately, and I read it, and so I couldn't deny what she said was true. I just didn't understand how I could wrap my life around that. And so I love the way the author makes it so clear and defines, not defines, but exposes and presents the journey that we take in this truth. And I love it because way back then, abide was a word, because I read it, it was planted in my spirit, abide. But I had no idea what abiding in Christ was like at that time. And most times we don't when we first come to Christ. It's a concept that we just are, it's beyond us. We cannot. Holy Spirit hasn't gotten us to that understanding, hasn't taught us and corrected us and guided us and led us into this truth. And so, but the truth is there, and it is a part of us. And I love it because the scripture says that, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so that word, that truth, that was hidden in my heart from all that time. And all that time, my journey started with God bringing me to understand what Christ had accomplished for me and how I would be able to embrace and get that truth. That's something that was in the bank for me. And he taught me how to and brought us to a place that we can go and make a withdrawal of that truth and consume it in our journey so that we would then have the riches, a part of us, that he said, so that you can understand the riches of his inheritance. And then because of that, live like a rich man, a rich child of God, a free child of God, and a child of God that's no longer practicing and led by and lured by sin. Not that it doesn't maybe not happen, but to understand it's not something that has control over us. But because we are abiding in Christ, and as we make abide becomes a lifestyle, No, it becomes our life. It becomes our life. And the author says it becomes a close and unbroken connection so that the soul lives, and this is what I love, moment to moment in the prophetic union with the Lord is keeping. He does indeed keep down the power of the old nature so that it does not regain dominion over the soul. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Psalms. Deliver thou me from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. Another scripture, when I read it, that some things just cling to your heart, and the fullness of it you may not be aware of, but you hide it in your heart. And that's what that scripture means. I hide it in my heart that I may not sin against you, that I will allow you to bring me into the truth and power of the scripture. Because afterwards it says, deliver thou me from secret faults, let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. And then it says, then will I be free from the evil, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. A benediction that I said as a young person, teenager, young adulthood, for years and years, over 30 years in our church. And I said it, but did not know what came before that scripture, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And so, again, this to me is his loving kindness drawing you. He gave me the crux of it that I could understand. Oh, I got that. That the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be accepted of that. I got that. But now he then started allowing me to see the root of the power of that word. And it came through the desire and the surrendering of my secrets and my presumptuousness, things that I just presumed and did not realize were sin and offensive to God. And that's where that list comes in. All of those things that it's like, oh, wow, it can't be that. Oh, really? No. You know, and so this list is 600 and some odd statements of sin and offenses to God that we presume they're okay, and we engage in them, and that's the enemy deceiving us, and yet we cannot remain deceived if we remain, and as we remain in the vine, as we abide in the vine, as we remain connected to the vine, that love flow from last week, what it says, that divine love will run through the channel of our heart. And as it does, it brings with it power and light to light up every corner, every place that there may be embedded in our heart something that is not like Christ. And it replaces it with the truth of Christ, the word of Christ, the life of Christ, the life's blood of Christ, the love of Christ. Because remember, if we love him, we will obey him. And as we love him, as that love flows through our hearts, and we obey him, each time we obey, in the lesson before that, it shared with us that is the path. That is the path to the will of God. Obeying him is the path. That is that lesson, actually. Is the path to the will of God. That intimacy is established. And the closer we desire and are drawn to him, I'm trying to look for what page it's on. But the closer we are drawn to him, then the more light will shine on us, and that light will put in, and in us, and that light will reveal those presumptuous things. It will reveal those secret faults, things that are even a secret to us. We're not aware of them because the enemy has so embedded them in our thinking through our environment, through the influences of education, of the government, the influence even of church and religion, the influence of our family that's in error, that was generational curses that were passed on and planted in or embedded in our mind. And so the closer we get, the more light is shined on those things, and we realize, aha, you know, and once you see the light, once you see the light, then the darkness of it and the lure of it is broken because you can see the thing for what it really is. You begin to understand exactly how, you know, what seemeth right is really the way to destruction, because now you can see the path more clearly. Because remember, in obedience, you're walking on a path into the will of God. So the more closer you walk to him, the more you realize what path does not lead to him. So the more you choose to obey him, then the more understanding you have of who he is and who you are in relation to him. And because of that, anything that's not like that will then be exposed. And as it is exposed, its lure and its hold and its effect on us will be broken because of the strong relationship that we have allowed to be established with us, in us, through the vine. And because that becomes our place of choice, that becomes our place of abode, that becomes our high tower, that becomes our rock, that becomes our healing place, that becomes the wings under which we run in time of trouble, that becomes our hope, that becomes our joy. And we know this, and because we know this, then we continue on that path and refuse to go down the path to the right or to the left that is not leading to him. And then what we end up, how we not end up, but then what manifests itself in our life is a joy that we talked about before, a love for the fellow brother. All these things start being produced, and I view it as just as you're walking down this path, then things are going to start blooming around you. Just like where Peter walked, his shadow brought healing everywhere you go because of the power that's in us, because of the position we have in Christ, and because of the proximity we have to Christ, then what he does, we do. And now we're all doing this. And so things are popping up. What are these things? They're fruit of the Spirit. And those fruit of the Spirit will nourish and will feed a world that's hungry for their destiny. They're hungry for the true meaning of their existence. If they're certain, the world is certain, why am I here? What is my purpose? But as the fruit of the Spirit is revealed to us, as we walk this path closer and closer in our fellowship with God through the power of Holy Spirit, then we are revealing, and that's what the lesson before said, that then love will be seen here daily in the life of earth and of time. So it'll be seen daily every time we come, every time we go, blessed when you go in, blessed when you come out, blessed when you're in the house, blessed every time, every place you go, then what will be seen is this divine love. And this divine love has the power, is the power over sin, over deception over all of those elements that the enemy would like to hold us, bind us, and deceive us into dwelling and into choosing, into embracing. I enjoy the I don't know even what you call it, when the Lord gave it. It's like, you know, why are we so taken by it? And why would we choose it over God? And everything about it is negative. And no matter how much we would give ourselves to it, we do not ever receive anything positive from it. And so when we start in Christ and we obey, it says every act of obedience then becomes an aha moment. And we realize the very thing that I was trying to protect and to acquire, I get it when I obey, not when I sin. The very thing that I want to treasure, I get when I obey. The very thing that I need to justify myself, I get when I obey, because Christ had done it already. The very thing that I want to gather and to get and to possess, the very thing that I want to possess, I get it when I obey. The very thing that I would brag on, I get that joy and that increase of worth when I obey Christ. And the very thing that I hunger for, I don't get it when I sin. I starve. But when I embrace and I hunger and when I obey, then I become fulfilled. I become filled. The very thing I want to be able to communicate and fellowship, you know, when you do it in sin, it just affects you. It infects you. It causes things that will cause you to really be separated from people as opposed to becoming one with them. But when you obey and that fellowship is a holy one, then you are able to share. And that sharing is part of the fulfillment of our very essence of who we are. And then this is something we can pass on. This is not a generational curse that clings and then destroys, but rather is something we pass on that will bring life and freedom, and it will multiply. His grace will be multiplied unto us and to our seed and to our children's children. It is the only place, as we obey, that we will truly find comfort. The only time when we obey will we find victory, and when we will be freed, we'll find freedom. A lot of times a child, I can't wait till I get grown, and I, you know, they can be free to do whatever they want, and when they do the things that are not comely unto them, they become even more imprisoned than they were as children under someone's rule and household. But when they obey, then they're no longer in a prison. They're free. They're released. They have a freedom to become without this struggle, without this contradiction or the thing that what they're trying to do, the more they do, the less they have. You know, that's like when you get money and you don't do that which you should do with it, no matter how much money you get, it's like it just falls out of pocket and you reach and there's nothing there. And you put and you try to select and you try to accumulate, and the more you accumulate, the less you have. And then you end up owing. And so it's in obedience, we're freed from that. Because when we obey, we realize true treasures. We realize true riches. What really is rich? And again, it goes back, as the author shared with us last week, when we give up our temporal thinking and we get an eternal look at our life, because we are spiritual beings. We are meant to live and to exist eternally. Whether you do it in heaven or you're doing it, it's never going to end. And we should not be bound by earth and time, because we, as spirits, we are not contained in earth and time. We're only going through this earth and this period of where time is measured. But our true and full existence is going to be where there is no limit to the time frame, because it's never going to end. And there's no limit to the space, because it is in a place where God fills the heavens and the earth. And it's a feeling of eternity, and that's who we are. And when we, the more we understand that, as we abide in Christ, and this truth flows through the channels of our heart, the more we understand that, then the less we fear that we'll miss something if we don't do something on an earthly level, or something that's presented on an earthly level, or when the spiritual aspect of a thing is presented as the commandments of God, then we won't fear doing them and embracing them, because we know truly it is laying up treasures for our real life that's going to be an eternal life, because this life is temporal. And so I there's so much in this lesson that I'm sure different readers would find different aspects that are pertinent to where they are. Just like I thank God for, you know, my experience with my grandmother. And it was where I was, and it's where he has me at this point. It says, the believer who claims the promise in full faith has the power to obey the command, and sin is kept from exerting its supremacy. And that's exactly what she was telling me. And yet, I did not understand the promise, nor full faith in obeying, because I had just started on the journey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're open up for dialogue this morning. Good morning. How has this lesson impacted you?
Good morning, Overseer. This is Margaret, and this is truly, again, a powerful message. And I just jotted just this little sin affect us as well as infect us, and that to me was powerful. It was powerful. It's something to look at. It was something to look at. And then I'm sure, as far as the other ones that are on the line, it's coming back to me when the old folks used to say, young folks say, it's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line between sanity and insanity. Mm-hmm. It's a thin line. In some instances, instances between sin and not sin, things that we say that we do that just almost comes natural, but it's actually a sin.
Amen.
So that's some of what I got from it. I got a lot more, but that just really kind of impounded.
Amen. Yes, it is. And, you know, I love God, because in all of that, he never gave up on us. He is never,
no.
And he's never going to. That's why I love that song. You know, he thought I was to die for. You know, he sacrificed his life so that we could be free. And he knew that our freedom wouldn't come instantaneously. He knew that there would be times that we would wrap our hands around sin and pierce the heart of the Father by embracing it and not letting it go and taking his hand. He knew that that was going to happen. And yet it did not in any way lessen his love to provide for us the opportunity to abide in him. And so it is a revelation of just how much God loves us. And I think the more we obviously learn of him, the more rich becomes our understanding of how much we are loved, how much we are loved, and how powerful and the strength of one who would love us like that is. It makes him worthy to be praised, makes him worthy to be chosen by us, so that when the choice becomes between this or that, it should be hands down. What do you want, Father? What do you want, Holy Spirit? What are you telling me to do? This is what I choose to do. I no longer want to hold on to this other stuff. That the more I hold on to it, the more I see my hand decay, the more I see it become rotten and useless and lose its power and its strength. And the tighter I hold on to it, the weaker I become. And the stronger, not the stronger, but the weaker I become, and the more I am hurting the one who loves me more than life itself. And we say hurting because it pierces his heart. We grieve Holy Spirit, and we are so important to God that because he longs for us, we need to understand when we don't long for him, it doesn't make his day. It doesn't make him smile. It really has, I want to say, effect on us, and I'm not trying to bring God down to our level, but at our level we need to understand it's that and even more. It's that and even more. There was a scripture in Old Testament. There is a scripture. I don't know where it's at, but at some point when God's people and a person is being oppressed, and because his love is so much for us, the scripture says he will push his sleeve up, all right, and come and fight for us. You know, so in other words, you know, I think of someone, you know, really getting ready to do something, you know, and they push their sleeve up to get their, you know, fist and then to go to battle, you know, but this is even more one-on-one. So this is God. Now, he could just speak and all can, you know, become undone. But more than that, he wants to personally, he does, he personally involves himself in our struggles. You know, he personally, because we mean that much to him. Scripture says his thoughts regarding us are more than the sand on the seashore. More than that. And so we cannot be that much a part of him and he not be affected when we choose, I'll say, the enemy really can't, well, he's an enemy to God. Okay, the devil. He's not even an adversary because it ain't even a battle because it's over already. But he thinks himself the enemy, the devil, thinks himself a rival. And we allow him to do that because we choose him so often, particularly before our abiding in Christ. We chose him over God. So anybody else?
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning.
This is Kelly Roberta. I enjoyed this chapter. It's very, it was very eye-opening to abiding, this moment, to abiding. And I liked his analogy about the lion. I never looked at it from I think sometimes I couldn't have said it like he said it, but the part that he keeps stressing is that the sinful nature in us, and I think sometimes we don't look at just the moment by moment, right now, the present. Our minds just go way ahead instead of right now, this moment, Lord, you know, keep my mind constrained. And so he just kept bringing that out to live in the moment, in the present, in this minute, in this time. And that was very important, and that just helped me to see, don't look at tomorrow, but just look at today, right now, this instant, this present. And the prayer that he was telling us to say, you know, to him. I never seen this brought out the way he has brought it out. You know, about those two passages of scripture.
That is just
so, as your word, if I can use your word, profound. You know, I never heard anybody express it that way in those particular scriptures, because I would have never looked at it like that. I often look at people that have struggles, and I just say, well, you know, in the past, coming up in the church, you know, people were struggling with something. They would just say, well, they just wasn't saved because they hadn't given it up or they had no comment. But then my little man always told me that, well, I think, you know, this is something that in time God will release them from that. My man always said that. I didn't look at them as not necessarily, you know, being saved when they had confessed him. So he just brings it out so well about us being saved, but yet the sinful nature, that struggle with the sinful nature. But if we just dwell and abide in him, that he, not we, but he will keep that nature down, that lion down in us that wants to rise up. So it's just this particular chapter, I thought all the rest was so profound, but this is just, you know, and as usual, I had to just read it over, just,
I marked one thing,
and then I said, oh, let me mark this. So I found
and then
it
about,
very...
It's all marked up.
My book is marked up, and I still say that, and I still stand on that you should make this a part of the... What is it, Minister Paulette? You know what I'm talking about, that we used to have at church in the morning.
Spiritual life and risk.
Because
there's so much
in here, just so
it is.
Much.
Yes, it is.
Man, I tell you, this is such eye-opening.
I agree.
You know,
it
just...
is. It is.
Oh my goodness!
And I even think at some point, this is something you have to wait. I want to say wait on God in His process in your heart before you can embrace this. And I think that because of the journey He's taken us, you know, when we did the fruit of the Spirit, when we understood the soil of our heart, just each step prepared us to embrace this as well.
And so sometimes you can give something to some nigga. We go, that don't make no sense. But once you get on the journey and he prepares the journey, and I'm like you, I would love to have this presented. I would love for Apostle to present it. You know, she has such an insight into bringing things out, and the opposite does such an, I figured the two together would be wow. I feel often that we become so privileged to some things, and I do. I feel our Fellowship of Learners, we're really privileged. We are really giving an honor for him to reveal his secrets to us, for him to reveal the a journey along the way. He gives us our material. He gives us, and together, you know, when we journey with this, you know, it's like we're in an intimate time with him, and he's revealing his heart to us, you know, through the things that the authors have presented. And it's just so, it's so wonderful. I guess I maybe think of it even as one of the, they said they worship like in cell groups, or, you know, little groups that sit in and they worship and study together. And so, and then we can come together and give it to a bigger group.
Yeah.
And, just,
and
I
just love it.
Yes. I do.
Where he says,
and it's so, it is so fresh wine. It is new wine. It just takes the old traditional kind of cliche thing, and it puts a biblical perspective on it, and give us a God's eye view for it. Really does.
Yeah.
I really appreciate Elder Deborah for bringing this to us. And I often wonder why
it
doesn't
she spell out the abiding. This chapter makes it even more clear about the abiding, you know, and to see it as his work to keep you abiding, and not our work. And it's his work to keep you from sinning, and not
work.
Our
work
to keep ourselves from sinning. But our work to abide in him. Oh, my goodness. And it said, but it is that only because
saying,
it is his work as band to bear and hold the branch. So when we look at it and say, okay, we're the branch.
I love it.
And he's holding us. Oh, my goodness. That just brings tears to your eyes. You know, because when we think of the vine and the branch, I don't think I would have ever looked at it like that until I read this book.
I never even
comprehended it that way. Okay, I know the vine, he's the vine, I'm the branch. But just ignorant of the true essence of that. Until now, yes.
Amen.
So I just thank God once again for the writer. Thank God for Elder Deborah bringing it to us. And just, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we thank God for giving us the
everything.
Mind to be obedient into doing it. I thank him. I do. We just praise him. Because he thought, you know, we would work it. Amen. So, Elder Deborah.
Yes, ma'am.
Look,
good morning.
I was going to say good morning. I wish that when we ever get together, she brings her book so you guys can see her copy of Abiding.
I'm not doing that.
Okay? She has more words she's written in the book than the author wrote. Okay?
That is such an anomaly, Overseer, honestly. I mean, because I normally don't do that, but when this was given to me as a birthday gift. I'm looking in the front of the book in 1994. And so I read through it then as a 31-day devotional. And then, I don't know, maybe 2011, earlier than that, maybe 2009, 2010, walked along with a friend of mine who had lost a son, and we did this just as a devotional, and then I kind of really got it, you know, and I think where the whole profoundness came out. But regarding this particular lesson today, I just wanted to share that there was one part where it talks about the author is asking us to gaze, it says, gaze upon his holy human nature as what he prepares for you to be the partaker of with himself.
Yeah.
And you will see that there is something even higher and better than being kept from sin. And this kind of, in a off-center kind of way, follows what Elder Roberta just said, that I think we get so lost in ourselves, in thinking about our position or our purpose in Christ is to not sin, so it's all about us. We end up being the focus. When he is saying there is something so much better than the behavior modification of you or us staying away from sin, is that if we dare to abide and just trust his word step by step, moment by moment, that he will allow his glory to be shown in every situation. It'll draw them in because Christ is being lifted up, but we are so consumed on a lower level that we, you know, that it sometimes it takes a reading of this or some other kind of insightful, you know, material, along, of course, as a supplement to the Word of God, but where God has revealed to, you know, his man or his woman that look at this way, see this nugget, pull it out. And so when Elder Roberta was talking about the lion, when I thought about that imagery, what came to mind to me when he's talking about if you're with a tamer, you know, then you can go right up to the lion and put your foot on the lion, you know, the lion being the adversary, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But even it took me to another place thinking, greater works that we do, we can be the tamer. Not, you know, I mean, that's a mixed metaphor between those two things, because one is making God the tamer, you know, he's showing God as a tamer. But I'm saying just when we extrapolate what the word says, that not only greater is he that is in us, but greater works shall we do, that we need to know that we have that ability and capacity in us as we abide, that whoever it is, whatever the situation is, whatever that lion is, you know, that we can stand there in the face of it because our big brother, our father, you know, Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, has already, you know, enabled and empowered us because the Holy Spirit dwells within, you know, so we have that ability. So I just thought this was a great reminder on the whole idea of, you know, not being able to sin, because that usually comes up as, of course, we don't have the ability to not sin. But, you know, the word is saying the sin is within us, but we don't have to yield to that sin. And we can even rise even above just not yielding, just totally abiding and just floating through the way he says, you know, and being able to navigate that because, you know, he's kind of the captain. But also one last thing, that scripture you were referencing is in Isaiah 52, where you were talking about God has rolled up his sleeves. All the nations can see his holy muscled arm. Everyone from one end of the earth to the other sees him at work, doing his salvation work. That's Isaiah 52:10. The passage is, the thought is Isaiah 52:10. I'm sorry, Isaiah 52:10 through 12 is the thought.
Excellent.
But yeah, that's where that is.
Yes. Such a perfect image, you know, of that, with the, you know, with the man and the lion, you know, I mean, I just love it. I love it.
And like you say, even with this whole thing of God rolling up his sleeves so everybody can see his muscled arm, you know, so when we're abiding, people see the power of God operating through us. It's manifested, you know, we're the boots on the ground, so to speak.
Not only that, we see his muscle arm, and we become impressed with that. You know, like, oh, I'm with him. You know what I mean? I mean, and he, I don't just with him. Do you know how much he loves me? You know, so, and these are things that, yeah. Oh, I think somebody said something. But, yeah. So you can get so excited, you know, when we get, I don't know, when he just reveals himself through his scripture, through his anointed authors and gifted musicians and poets. Just any time Holy Spirit gifts and anoint individuals to share, you know, the truth of God, it just becomes such an exciting thing. It's such a powerful thing.
Right, but wouldn't it be so awesome if we just flowed in that all the time? You know, that every time we got together, everything we did, everything where we joined in prayer or in covenant agreement, in worship, in life, and, you know, in ministry, that would be, and we have that ability. So, you know, to me, this was a reminder that, you know, you can do so much better. You know, don't just barely make it over the line. You know, let's soar above the line. You know, let's be so far in the background that, you know, we're not even thinking of some of the things, you know, that used to snare us up, you know. Let us really walk in the deliverance, you know, that God has given us. Yes.
Exactly. And I believe that's what, you know, God is doing at Labor for Christ. That's why the ministry of one another, you know, so that we can walk in that kind of excitement all the time. You know, all the time, you know, that there's a song saying, all attention on Jesus. All of our attention is on Jesus. And so when we interact with each other, you know, you're sharing an aspect that you know, experienced that week or this day or this moment, you know, and we're sharing the aspects and the relationship we're having with him. All attention on Jesus. All attention on Jesus. And I believe when we do that, and if we stopped and looked around, whatever it was that we thought was troubling or issue with us in life, he would have taken care of it. It'll be done. It's like, oh, wow, when did that happen? You know, when did that get fixed? When did, you know.
Okay.
So, I you know, I do appreciate, you know, the ministry of one another. When we read that one thing, you know, about, you know, greeting each other with a song and hymn and spiritual singing, you know, and I kept thinking of, you know, the Sound of Music. Everywhere that woman went, she was jumping up and, you know, flying and singing and happy and yada, yada, yada. And that's what we should be doing. Now, it may look funny, you know, and I think there's a Christian comedian or somebody who came up with, you know, what if it, every time we were walking down the street, we just broke out, you know, in the holy dance, you know, you would hear that music that incites, you know, the saints to start dancing, you know, it's like everywhere we go, the music is just playing and we just dancing, okay? So it's like a cloud of joy. Just like with the children of Israel, they went where the cloud went, a fire, you know, a day or night. And so that it's everywhere we go. When you see it, when you see the cloud, look, because here we come. You know, and it comes with us, and it transforms. You know, it lights up the places. It lightens. Even the atmosphere isn't as heavy. But sometimes you can come in a worship service and the atmosphere is so heavy, it's like, oh, my goodness, it's so oppressive, you know, because of all of the things that rest on us and that follow us, the spirits of, you know, depression, of heaviness, just of all of the different things that we endure that we don't have to. He has a way of, they will come, but they do not have to have the power over us, you know, because greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. So, praise the Lord, saints. Anybody else? We have other callers on the line. Would you like to share?
Amen.
All right. Now our book is fast coming to an end. I'm excited about next week's lesson. Because part of the teaching of the influence of the Seven Mountains that are brought into our understanding with learning in CCTI, the bishop is teaching. But one of the keys in Revelation that is to be brought back as the mountain is of influence is defeated from the enemy that has it, and it's gone, it's given back to God, his strength. And I believe that is the mountain of the family. And strength is a very interesting word to me. And so I pray that we kind of look up strength. I'm excited to see what the author has to say about it. I am really excited. I try not to go ahead because, you know, when you do, you know, y'all will be going, what is she talking about? But praise the Lord. Anyway. So I encourage you to, again, enjoy your worship and your world, because we live in the kingdom. We are not of this world. Praise the Lord. We just in it. But there's the world that we abide in. In the garden of our husband and the Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our pastor shared in the sermon. And Elder Roberta, were you there Sunday?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So what was the, and I just heard it once or twice, you know, now unto him who does exceedingly abundantly above all, and how each one is a part of the Trinity. I know abundantly is what Christ does. Exceedingly must be what the Holy Spirit brings, and above all is what God brings. So enjoy the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it.
All right.
All right.
Be blessed.
Enjoy your work. And see you next week. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.